You ready, B? Let's go get him.
Look for me, young B, cruising down the west side highway, doing what we like to do.
It's good to be Jay-Z this month. He likely got the girl. Beyonce is now Mrs. Z. According to various sources like People and Us Weekly, the two reportedly married Friday night. And he's likely has a $150 million deal with a concert promoter. Likely because neither are 100% confirmed by Mr. Sean Carter himself. The marriage thing, well, God bless him. The entertainment deal thing, well, that has bigger implications for the music industry as a whole, which makes potential deals between Jay-Z and this company Live Nation even more interesting. Is that the rapper would leave a major record label behind to sign a deal with a concert promoter that used to be part of Clear Channel's media network. Now, it is reportedly a 10-year, $150 million agreement that allows, well, it actually follows similar collaborations between Live Nation and some people you may have heard of, people by the name of U2 and Madonna. What exactly can Live Nation do for Jay-Z that a label can't? Let's bring in Alec Foge. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Right Out of the Dial, The Rise of Clear Channel and the Fall of Commercial Radio. Hi, Alec.
Hi, how are you?
Great. I need you to explain something to me, though. What exactly is Live Nation? What does it do?
Well, Live Nation's core business is what's called concert promotion. They're the biggest purveyor of concerts around the country. In some cases, they're simply putting on the shows. In other cases, they actually own the venues as well. But thanks to a roll-up of a lot of the top concert promoters a number of years ago, they pretty much, especially in all of the major cities around the country, own pretty much every live venue you can think of.
So what is it that Live Nation, a concert promoter, can offer Jay-Z, who was with a label until recently a president of a label? What can it offer him that a label can't?
Well, as everyone's been reading about and hearing about, the recording industry is in a lot of trouble. People aren't buying CDs much anymore, particularly under the age of 25. Online music and digital music options have really taken off, and the writing is on the wall for the recording industry. And I think what you're seeing here with Madonna and U2, and now with Jay-Z, are big selling artists that realize maybe recordings are not going to be their core profit center in the future.
So this $150 million agreement, it just doesn't cover recordings. It covers, like, merchandising and other investments in Jay-Z?
Correct. It also covers his business activities. Since the deal isn't finalized, I don't have the exact details, but there's been some implication. It may include a chunk of his clothing line.
Wow.
He's going to play the role of an A&R executive and sign artists, presumably, as well, and they'll get a piece of all of that.
So they're not just buying into Jay-Z, the performer. They're just buying into Jay-Z, the brand, as an entity.
Exactly. I mean, I think that in recent years, some of these marquee performers who have, in most cases, a global following, understand that their only real protection going forward is to enhance their brand as opposed to seeing how many records they can sell or CDs.
Because someone like Jay-Z, I mean, really, if you look at it on paper, he's 38, he's signing a 10-year deal, his last record wasn't a blockbuster.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism, certainly in the recording industry, about this deal. I mean, it does include his next three albums as part of the deal, as it was reported in the New York Times, and he's going to get an advance of $10 million for each album, but there's some question about that. One of the biggest questions I have is really, in 10 years, will we still be listening to albums, so to speak? And so what would be the value of $10 million invested in a product like that?
We're speaking with Alec Foge. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Right of the Dial, The Rise of Clear Channel and the Fall of Commercial Radio. Now, listeners are probably familiar with Clear Channel as that massive organization that dominated radio in the late 90s. Can you explain what Live Nation's relationship with this Clear Channel is, and how does Live Nation have all this money to throw at Jay-Z, U2, and Madonna?
Well, that's a great question. The connection between Live Nation and Clear Channel goes back to around 1999-2000, when Clear Channel was the largest, most profitable radio company in the country. They purchased SFX, which was the largest concert promoter in the country, with the idea that there was going to be some synergy between radio stations and concert venues. They were going to sell national advertising campaigns. Well, synergy didn't work out so well, not just for Clear Channel, but for most media companies. And what was unusual for Clear Channel is that the entertainment division became a liability. Fans and people in the music industry felt that they were anti-competitive in their practices, and in some cases there were intimations that they were denying their venues to artists who they were denying airplay to artists who refused to play their venues. So they got in a little bit of trouble. Their stock price started dropping. By 2005, they felt they could improve their stock price by spinning off Live Nation as its own public company, which they did at the end of that year.
The CEO of Live Nation is quoted as saying, "I'm the worst enemy of the labels." Is he right in some way?
He may be. It's hard to sell. Hard to tell. You can't predict the future. The truth of the matter is that nobody so far has found a real solution to how artists will make money if they're not selling CDs in the numbers that they're used to. I think for a lot of people, this Live Nation deal certainly clarifies a possible future. The fact of the matter is there are a few other options right now.
Yeah.
And certainly if they can capture a lot of that ancillary revenue, then, it may work out.
It may work out for them.
Whether these deals are profitable in themselves or not.
Alec Foge, author of the book, Right of the Dial, due out April 21st. Thanks, Alec.
Thank you.
This is the BPP from NPR.